saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. I tell you, heaven's not going to be empty, folks. There's going to be a lot of folks there. So if you're afraid of a crowd here, you're going to have trouble when you get to heaven, because there's going to be a lot of them. And he said with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." I wanted you to see that, because it's interesting that Jesus Christ is going to be honored before all of creation and declared that he is the worthy one to receive glory and honor and all of these things that were mentioned. We're living in a society today that is obsessed with extreme makeovers. We hear it all the time. We watch it. These reality shows on television, they'll come into your house and rework your house, give it a makeover from top to bottom. And then you're supposed to, thank them profusely and stand off to the side in ooh and ah, and the cameras are running all the time. They make over people's faces. They'll get somebody that looks, well, like people look. And then they'll do their magic with them, and with some here and there stuff, cover a few blemishes and whatever, and they come out looking altogether different than they did before. Got programs that tells you what to wear, what not to wear. Got all of these people, everybody is interested in there being something extreme that needs to happen in my life, that I'm not satisfied with the status quo, that I'm ready for an extreme shift from what I have known. I don't know how many people feel that way today, but I think that redemption is something that society is crying out for. We know that something different ought to be happening than what is happening. And that's why we're doing everything that we can to try to make it a reality. We sit in front of our television sets and we watch it on these various movies and about the fantasy land, what could be, what ought to be. They'll even project something of what's going to happen in 2050 and all of these things. Everybody wants something different from what we have. And we are staring in our society at the proliferation of AIDS and terrorism and drugs and war, breakdowns of families, and people need that they understand that a radical shift is needed. I want you to put Romans chapter 8 and verse 22 up on the board. I want us to read that one together. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. The whole creation. All of God's creation is groaning and travailing with pain. I am of the conviction that the extreme weather that we've been seeing so many times recently has something to do with creation groaning. That because of the way mankind has turned his back on God and away from righteousness and purity, that I believe that there are some extreme weather conditions that are coming our way that we have never seen before, because creation is groaning that we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, and we're not giving glory to God like He should be glorified and exalted. And I really believe that's one of the things that's taking place. I read about the tsunami that happened on December 26, 2004, off the western coast of Sumatra. An undersea earthquake jolted the seismic sensors around the world. The shaking did not stop for more than 500 seconds. Now, if you're in an earthquake, a second is a long time. But this thing shook for over 8 minutes. For 500 seconds, the whole earth shook. It's the longest quake ever in its own category. It created a trench in the bottom of the ocean several kilometers wide, and it drug millions of tons of rocks 7 miles across the seabed and the open sea. What an awesome, tremendous, powerful thing that was. The entire planet vibrated for just a millisecond of time. It shook the whole planet that we live in. It began then to create these big tsunamis out of the ocean. It's hard to recognize a tsunami when you're out in deep water. You don't see it. But the closer it gets to the land and to the shallow water, it begins to become more and more obvious. I read about that thing. They said that it came in waves that were 100 feet high. To give you an idea of that, this building at the highest point there is 28 feet and 2 inches. So when you're looking at waves that are 100 feet high, you look at 4 times the height of this very room that we're in. That's how high that tidal wave is coming out of the ocean. And it swallows up people, and literally about 230,000 people died in that tsunami. And billions and billions of dollars in damage. It approaches, that tidal wave approaches in speeds up to 500 miles an hour. And what a tremendous time of devastation that causes. You say, well, what does that have to do with what we're talking about today? I believe that just as dramatic as a tsunami is, I believe that there is a radical spiritual awakening that is coming to our world before the return of the Lord. And it's going to be in tsunami-type conditions. It's going to be quick. It's going to be suddenly. And it's going to touch people everywhere. Because the same Jesus, hallelujah, left this earth and he put within us the same power that raised him from the dead and therefore required that we go and make disciples of all nations. I think it's interesting that this is our unfinished business in the world. My business in this world is not to accumulate large sums of money. My business is not to own as many parcels of property that I possibly can. My unfinished business is to go out in the divine favor that God will put upon me when I receive the anointing and the responsibility to go out and do my part to make disciples of all nations. Glory to God. I believe you can operate in divine favor. I believe every day of your life is a miracle waiting to happen. And God's going to put divine things before you. And he's going to bring people into your life and into your path who's going to speak blessings and anointing upon you. And you're going to see the blessings of the Lord overcome in a mighty way in these last days. The Bible is clear about these things. And people are hungry for the supernatural. A very few and small percentage of Christianity today actually believe in supernatural things. It would shock you the number of churches that you could go in today and the Holy Spirit and the supernatural move of God would not be welcome. It would shock you. And the Bible is clear that man is unhappy. Man is seeking for something else. There has to be something else. And we're seeing it. Older folks sitting in the old line churches that are dead. Young people who refuse to go to dead churches. Our society is hungry for the supernatural. And the church has abandoned the idea of the supernatural. We have replaced it with our clubs. We have replaced it with our little things that we do to make everybody feel good. But I still believe that we need a supernatural move of the Holy Spirit in order to really see a change in our world and in our society. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You are worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Because the church has abandoned its ideas concerning the supernatural move of God, many people, including Christian people, have turned to the psychics and the palm readers and the fortune tellers to tell them something that they want to hear. They're unhappy with their lives. They want to know what the future is going to be. So they give their money to these people and they are in essence saying the church is not providing the supernatural power of God. So I'm having to go out there into the world and get a counterfeit. Well, I still believe in the genuine move of the Holy Spirit that it's real and God still desires to do something awesome among his people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's an Elijah revolution coming. The Bible is clear about that. I wanted to just share something with you. Look at Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. You will see something here. Behold, look at this. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, verse 5, let's see what he says. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now these are the last words that was given to us in the Old Testament before we have 400 years of silence. This was so important that this was the last thing that was spoken before the silent period. He said, I will sin. Put verse 5 back up there. Verse 5 said, he said, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Who was Elijah? Elijah in 1 Kings 17 was the man that God had sent to confront Israel about their Baal worship. They were worshiping the false god of Baal, and they had given themselves over to that. And God sent Elijah, hallelujah, great man of God, the prophet of fire. And he sent Elijah to confront Israel and to tell them, you have abandoned the Lord God that created you and delivered you, and you are worshiping the god of Baal. Well, his arch enemy, of course, was Jezebel. And the spirit of Jezebel is still around today. The spirit of control. The spirit of seduction. The spirit of jealousy. The spirit of desiring other things that don't belong to you. That spirit is still alive today. But I thank God there are still some Elijahs alive today who will cry out to God, who will declare to the people the ways of the Lord and the works of the Lord. And Jesus said, before I come back, I'm going to send Elijah before the coming of the Lord. And he went on to say that the hearts of the fathers would be turned to the children. Look at verse 6 there again. And he shall turn. He shall turn Elijah and the spirit of Elijah that will be on this generation that will be there before the coming of the Lord will be the spirit that will cry out and say, fathers need to turn back to their children and children need to turn back to their fathers. We're going to see that God is going to move in a mighty way. We recognize that the critical issue about fathers is what has created one of the terrible blights of our society. It is one of the things that has brought about the loose morals and the proliferation of homosexuality is the lack of fathers in our culture and in our society. We have males who are helping to give birth to children, who are fathering children physically, but they never father them spiritually. They help them come into the world in their physical body, but they do not set the example before them as a godly man. And it's true in the home, and it's true in the church. That's why we don't have the strong men in most churches who are ready and willing to stand up and be the man of God and be the man of their household and the priest of their families. I'm saying unto you that before the Lord can come back again, we got to have some men who will be men and who will stand up and be what God has called us to be. But there's a spirit about this. This was taken so seriously that the Orthodox Jews, even today, these last two verses of Malachi are taken so literally that the Orthodox Jews at Passover today set out an empty chair right on. Amen. Just in case Elijah comes. Because that's how quickly they are expecting their Messiah to come. So it isn't just words on a page. It's something that's real and anointed. Hallelujah. I want you to see in Luke chapter 1 and verse 7. an interesting spirit that we see here. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the father to the children. Have you heard that before? Back it up to verse 16 and let's see what that is saying, if you will, please. Just one verse. Back it up to verse 16. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Talking about Elijah now. And then verse 17. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. Talking about John the Baptist now. Amen. That came before Jesus came. And he is the type and example of what is to come before the Lord returns. Amen. He's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Amen. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Amen. Even as John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus to come. This Elijah revolution of people will prepare the way for Jesus to come back again as he has promised that he would do. I think it's interesting for you to know that the Lord has not forgotten us. He knows we're in the trenches. He knows that we're fighting the fight of our lives. He knows that you are facing things that you've never had to face before. But there is a spirit of Elijah, hallelujah, that is stirring in the church world. And a few folks have heard it. And I'm believing for a move of God. A tsunami, if you please. A tsunami of the overcoming power of the Holy Spirit that's going to make a difference and make a change in the world today. Hallelujah. This coming movement is going to project us in a place that we've never been before. That's what God told Israel. I'm going to take you into a place that you've never been before. Turn to Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they came from Shittim, and he came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. Verse 2 says, and it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Look at verse 4. This is interesting. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. That's about 300 feet. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way heretofore. Yes. That's interesting now. Now, stick with me here. 2,000 cubits, they were supposed to be in distance between themselves and the Ark of the Covenant. That's right. Some people need to be careful about getting too close to the sacred. This is why I feel so strongly that there are some things that should be still sacred. There are some things we still should honor and respect. And I believe the church is one of them. I know I'm from the old school. And that's okay. I learned a lot in that old school. But I still believe that. But he said 2,000 cubits. Shall you be out there? So we're talking 3,000 feet here between you and the Ark of the Covenant. You're to be able to see it, and you're to be able to know that it's in front of you, but you've got to give a respectable distance for God to do what God needs to do in your life. That's interesting. Because 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 8 says, a day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. Interesting there. 2,000 cubits. And if a day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day, keep that in mind and look at Hosea chapter 6 and verse 2. Hosea chapter 6 and verse 2. After 2 days, will he revive us? In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. If 2,000 cubits could be equal to 2 days in the sight of the Lord, he said, after 2 days, the Lord's going to revive us. It's been about 2,000 years since Jesus was on this earth and died on the cross. So we're in the third day. And this is the day that the Lord has promised that he will raise us up. Hallelujah. And we shall live in his sight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the generation, I believe, that will see the tsunami of the Holy Spirit and the spirit of Elijah that will be unleashed on our society. And we're going to see a movement back to God again. Churches are going to be growing, and we're going to see something positive take place. The world will become more and more wicked, but the church will become stronger and stronger as we prepare for the coming of the Lord to come again. Give him praise and glory in his house today. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Israel did not own any land when they were in the wilderness. God never promised them the wilderness. That was not the promise. The wilderness is what they settled for. The promise was the promised land, the land of Canaan. But they settled for the wilderness. They decided that they couldn't get rid of that Egypt mentality that was still in them. Even though God had miraculously delivered them out of Egypt in 1 day's time, yet they doubted whether or not there was a promised land that was for them. You can be beat down so many times. You can be defeated and destroyed so many times. You can lose hope. You can lose your positive spirit altogether, and you can feel like you're at the mercy of whatever. But I want to tell you, there is a new spirit that is raising up. There is a new power that's being unleashed, and it is the power for you to recognize who you are in Jesus Christ. And you're part of the third day. You're part of that anointing power that's going to see a difference made in this world and in this society that we're living in. They had been shut down their minds for 400 years. 400 years. They were in Egyptian captivity. They worked as slaves. They lost all of their hope. They forgot about their potential. They forgot about the fact that something could be better out there. Every day it was yielding to their taskmasters. Every day it was making bricks without straw. And they had that in their heart. And for 400 years, that's what their life was. They didn't even think it could ever be any different or any better. So whenever God miraculously delivered them, and by the way, the God delivering them out of the Red Sea is a beautiful picture of salvation. It's a beautiful picture, that Red Sea representing the blood of Jesus, where we go into the blood in the captivity of sin, and we come out on the other side victorious and can shout the redemptive power of God in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They didn't own any land while they were in the wilderness. They were still in the mentality of Egypt. And it took them 40 years to get to the place that they were ready to see themselves in a different light than what they had been seeing themselves before. Can I tell you, you're not what the world says you are? Can I tell you, you're not what your past says you are? Can I tell you, you are what the Word of God declares that you are? And in the name of Jesus, you are more than overcomers in Jesus Christ, the wonderful Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I refuse to be defeated. I refuse to be defeated. And it's my decision. Glory to God. These people could have entered the promised land in 11 days from the time they left Egypt. But they spent 40 years going in a circle. But that was not their promise. It was what they settled for. Don't settle for less than what the Lord has for you. You only get what you settle for. So don't settle to be average. Don't settle to be mediocre. Don't settle just to get by. Don't feel like, well, I'm drowning in this world, and if the Lord doesn't hurry up and come back, I'm not going to make it. No! Stand up on your feet like a mighty man and woman of God and declare, I am an overcomer through Jesus Christ, my blessed Lord. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Put Exodus chapter 3 in verses 7 and 8 up there. I wanted you to see this. Exodus chapter 3 in verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. He said, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large land, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. There are enemies in the land. I want you to know that. It's not just going to be handed to you. You got to fight for it. You got to fight for it. Don't let the devil have your family. Don't let the devil have your children. Don't back up and say, I can't do anything about it anymore. Yes, you can. You can get on your face before God. You can plead the blood of Jesus and call on the courts of heaven, and your family can be saved and brought to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I refuse to let the devil have my family. We talk about the Lord in our home. When we get together, we talk about the Lord and the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. He says, I've come down to deliver you, and I didn't deliver you for you to live in the wilderness. He said, I've come to deliver you to a land that is flowing with milk and honey. He never promised to give them manna. Manna was a little wafer-like piece of bread with just a hint of honey in it. And God was only whetting their appetite for the land that was flowing with milk and honey. And God said, I don't want you to settle for a little piece of manna when you can be living in a land that's flowing with milk and honey. Oh, glory to God. You don't have to settle for being beat down all the time. You don't have to settle for living below your privileges. You can stand up and be a mighty man and woman of God, and you can take authority over all of the powers of the enemy that is brought against you. Glory to God. So manna was never a part of God's plan. It's what they had to settle for. It was an emergency fix. God wanted them living in the land flowing with milk and honey. And they were settling for a little wafer with just a touch of the taste of honey. How much are you willing to settle for? How much of the power of the Holy Ghost is it taking to satisfy you in this world? You can swim in the rivers of water. You can go into waters that is over your head, and you just swimming in the blessings and in the power of God. Or you can sit in the corner and feel sorry for yourself and think everybody has turned their back on you and you have nothing left to offer. Well, I just want to tell you, you don't have to settle for that. You are more than that. You are bigger than that. God's got better for you than that. You don't have to settle for that stuff. Well, glory to God. Feel like I'm 50 years younger this morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. People say I was facing eviction and God came through at the last minute. And I know some of us have been in those tough places. But those are wilderness emergencies. Promised land is God's blessings are flowing to me every day, and I'm not going to be evicted. I bought the land. I bought the building I'm living in. Now we're not thinking like the slaves and the taskmasters that I've got to bow down to this government or I've got to bow down to this society. No, you are a child of the living God. Hallelujah. And the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. See yourself as an overcomer and not as someone who is a failure anymore. I wish I could preach this thing like I see it. My God, what I could be if I would only receive all the blessings of what the Lord has for me. This Elijah revolution is going to change things. But there's a price to pay. It was never in the plan of God for the water to come from a rock. That was a wilderness emergency. The wilderness emergency is when just before you go under, God comes through. The promised land is, I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ my Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am the head and not the tail. I am over and not under. That is the promised land mentality, and that's where I am determined to stay. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't want the emergency miracles. I want the promised land miracles. Hallelujah. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 7. I'm going to quit for today. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 7. I want you to see this. When they were complaining about not having water, and Elijah or Moses smote the rock, and the water came forth. But here's the promise of the Lord. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills. You don't have to strike a rock and get water when you're living on the promise of God that He's bringing you into a land that is full of brooks of water and fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. What are you settling for? Are you settling for just a smidgen? That's a good old Horry County word. You know what a smidgen is? That's a little bit. And there's a lot of people who's got just enough of God to make them miserable. And they make everybody around them miserable. They'll tell you in a heartbeat how much they love the Lord. But they are living a miserable life. You can't hardly get along with them. You speak to them and they'll bite your head off or whatever. Hey, you're settling for a smidgen when there's a whole fountain. There is a valley that is full of springs of water and fountains and depths. I say that as a church today. I say that as the leader of this church today. We don't have to settle for half-empty pews. We don't have to settle for just a move of the Spirit once in a while. We can walk in here with the spirit of expectancy and with the spirit of the anointing and the power of God, and we can receive exactly what we need from the Lord. Are you going to settle for less? Or are you going to be a part of that Elijah revolution? I'm going to keep on talking about this next week. And we're going to talk about these ites that live in the land. But I'm telling you, God is doing something fresh and beautiful. I know there's a lot of pain in a lot of people's lives. I know a lot of things have gone in the wrong direction for you. Maybe that kind of a formula has happened because I've not been standing on the promises of God. Maybe I've been willing to take whatever the devil hits me with and think that I deserve it. You don't deserve it. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary to take your curse and to take your sickness and to take your ills. Hallelujah. And He has given us the power to be overcomers in the name of the Lord. I'm going to receive the Lord. I'm going to take everything that I possibly can. But I want you to know, if I fail in any place in my life, if I disappoint you, if I let you down, it'll never be God's fault. It's always mine. It's because I settle for less than what I could have been. But I want to be an overcomer. I want to be walking on the top. I don't want people walking on me. I want to walk on top because God has already put all things under my feet. Amen. Glory to God. It's so interesting. All of these things that I have shared with you today, that Jesus is going to stay until that spirit of Elijah is released. It's going to be released and it's being released. I believe that. But that spirit, that tsunami of spirit, I've heard people say, they believe a great spiritual awakening is coming before the return of the Lord. I do believe we're going to see that. I believe there are some folks who are going to see and perceive that we need more of God, and we're going to be willing to pay the price for it. And it's going to sweep this land like a mighty tsunami of God's Spirit and power. I want it to start right here in this church. I want it to be real right here. I want these pews to be filled to capacity. Not so we can say we had so many people. No, we want people to hear the liberating power of Jesus Christ. You don't have to live in conviction and shame. You don't have to live based on what other people have said about you. You are a child of God, and you can walk in that freedom and in that anointing today. Let's stand together. Hallelujah.